I am so thrilled to be sharing with you a special soul today. His name is Stephen Monatrank. He is a visionary in the field of personal transformation. He's so many different things: a master hypnotherapist, epigenetic therapist, educator, published author, abstract artist, natural mentor, and spiritual teacher. He appears next to Deepak Chopra, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Michael Beckwith, and others in Sharon Stone's documentary, The Cure. He has so many things under his belt, but seriously, his 25 years of heartfelt devotion centered on vibrational medicine, healing, and joyful living inspires us to embrace a higher consciousness that is founded in love. And I can't explain to you, whenever I share any kind of space with Mana, I am in awe of the thing that connects all of us together. And in the spirit of getting to know you, Mana, even deeper, I would love to start with the question: how do you describe your essence?
You know, I don't know if essence could be put in a description, because essence to me is the cultivation of the feelings of who we are. Essence is the experience that we bring forth into the world based on our inner vibration. And so we all have love as our inner vibration. It's the shielding of it, or putting a veil over it, that holds it back from being, let's just say, experienced in its full potential. So my vibrational frequency, my essence, is based on my transparency. In other words, what I'm open to receive and to what I'm open to give. And the more I'm open to receive and the more I'm open to give, my essence illuminates my path.
Wow.
Is that?
Yes, I have never heard that being described in that way.
So I never described it that way. No one ever asked me that question.
So your transparency, your openness to receive and to give in the spirit of love that we are created from is your essence, the way you are.
Of course.
Yeah.
How could it be any other way?
So I'm going to assume that you would describe your authentic self as love. How would you share with us in so many words how you came to know your authentic self? How did you come to know love?
You know, I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, so to speak. Not dysfunctional in the fact that it needed any type of medication or confinement. I grew up in a Jewish family in Brooklyn, New York.
That's it all.
Guilt and worry and anxiety was part of the deal. And so I grew up very sheltered from life and always looking over my shoulder, trying to protect and trying to avoid and trying to stay safe. And the question you're asking me again is what?
How did you come to know your authentic self, love?
First, I was very unhappy, which creates the background, okay, to embrace the love. You have to have perspective first to know where you are and where you want to go. You need two points of reference. So the darkness in my life, or the trauma, or the living in the illusion of life, provided me an opportunity to know what I didn't want. And then I started to hear within me a calling It was very subtle, very soft. It led me one way or another, but it led me down a path that started to show me a different way that I can experience myself in the way life was being given me, the experiences I was having. And it led me to reading a lot of beautiful books from beautiful people that are consciously aware of what reality is. And little by little, the seed started to germinate. And the roots started to go deeper and deeper. And I started to slowly rise above the clouds and finally breaking into the sunshine. And once you get a taste of the sunshine, there's no turning back. And so the yearning was well heard, and my devotion to myself. This is, you know, Jisani, it's all about devotion. It's not about dedication. It's not about discipline. It's not about willpower. It's all about self-love. And self-love is the motivator. It's the driving force that takes you to where you don't want to be, where you don't want to be, to where you want to go. That's for me anyway. So the more I began to become more aware of who I am, meaning God's child, meaning a child of the universe, so to speak, you know, pure love, pure joy, the more I began to see myself in a different way, everything started to change in my life, because my frequency, the way I'm vibrating, was being able to be more visible, not only to me, but the essence of me being out in the universe, being perpetuated into eternity, created the experiences that I'm having today. I know I'm a little vague in things, but I hope I answered your question.
Yes, I know your story, so you definitely answered my question. I wonder if you can share with those of our audience members that are watching, what specifically led you to seek the sunshine? Was there a pivotal point that you would like to touch on?
Yes. I had, in 1976, probably before you were born.
I'll never reveal her age.
I moved from Brooklyn, New York, New York City, where I was in the garment industry, manufacturing and merchandising apparel and clothes worldwide. I moved to California. And that came within a three-week period. It was like the wind picked me up and dropped me off in another never-never land, Hollywood. And it was amazing. I left my environment. I left all my problems. I escaped, so to speak, to a new place. And I was really enjoying it. I had all the trappings I needed. I had the money I needed. I had the home. I was living on the beach. I found it. But then one day, about 8 months after I got there, I was sitting on the beach wondering why it was raining and I'm sitting there alone, wondering why I'm feeling so heavy and down, why I'm not celebrating all the beauty and what I thought was what I wanted in my life. And I realized that even though I moved 3,000 miles from New York to California, even though I left behind all my trappings, the material aspects of my life, you know, the things that were causing me all sorts of problems, or so to speak, escape from all those, I brought myself with me. So what I changed was the environment, but I didn't change the way I perceived myself in the experiences that I was having.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized if anything is going to change in my life, I have to shift my perspective on the way I see myself in life.
There's
That
a
was the
saying.
pivot, that was the pivoting point.
I love that. So, Mana, there's a saying, it's always an inside job.
Always.
Always an inside job. That's what it reminds me of, your story. So that was the pivotal point for you.
That was. And I remember it very, very clearly, you know. And when I shifted my focus to seeing myself other than a victim of circumstances, and seeing that every experience I had was bringing me an opportunity to glean the lesson, it was a gift. Each experience was a gift. I've been giving a gift to myself. I have to look for that gift. I have to look for that gem. Okay. And that's what got me on the path of hypnosis. Okay. Because my wife was going to HMI, Hypnosis Motivational Institute. This was in Marina Del Rey, where I was living. And she left all these books and all these papers around the house. And I started to pick them up and look at them. And I'd say, wow, you know, this stuff is powerful. And I wasn't thinking about going into a business or creating myself as a hypnotherapist. This was my own work. So I told her, I'm going to sign up for the course. And she said, no, you're not. She wouldn't let me sign up until after she graduated. She didn't want me going the same time. So I waited a year and I signed up. And I went to, and I studied with Kappas, John Kappas. He was, him and Milt Erickson were like the forefathers of hypnosis. They were on the top of the level. And so I got good training. And in that training, they had a clinic that they allowed us to participate in with supervision. And that's what I started doing towards the end of my tenure there, is giving my time to the clinic. And I was enjoying it. And more important, I was getting letters and affirmations from the people that I was working with, how I was helping them.
Yeah.
And this was very fulfilling, it, you know, not rewarding in the sense of money, but fulfilling in the sense of heartfelt.
Yes.
And that's what got me on this whole path to begin with.
Got it.
And that went on, of course, to becoming, you know, I had many different offices. I had an office in Marina Del Rey. I had an office in Beverly Hills. I had an office in Malibu. So over a period of time. And I got a chance to meet people from all over the world and to experience things that I never experienced before. I got to know people and how they operated. And I got very involved in how the mind works and how I studied the ego for years, just the ego, just to understand the mechanism of how that works and intercedes and robs you of your inheritance. You know, how it disguises itself. In my book, Navigating the Winds of Change, which is a spiritual guide to embracing a loving life, I devote a whole, I call them day chapters, because I don't want you to read it like a novel. You can take as long as you want. Each day, read something and then take it into your life, integrate it, because conceptualizing it, intellectualizing it, understanding it doesn't change anything. Because I did it for years and years and years, and nothing changed until I applied it. And that takes two things. It takes courage and devotion.
Yes.
Those are the two pillows that you need in order to move through the darkness in your life, is courage, not the courage that you can do it. but the strength of the creation, the strength of God consciousness. Okay. And then the devotion to yourself, the self-love that you have for who you are. Okay. Yes. And embracing it. And between those two pillows, nothing gets in your way.
I love that. So the two pillars for you are courage and devotion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But not courage that I'm a man and I can do it. It's not mind courage. It's it's surrendering to the heart courage, going into the void courage, going into the uncertainty courage, knowing that you're not alone courage.
Yeah, yeah. Almost like faith, but acting on it.
Well, I like to use the word trust.
Trust, yeah.
For me, trust is more powerful than faith. Faith to me is attached to a religious connotation.
Yeah.
Trust stands by itself.
I love that. Yes, absolutely, 100%. So you said something, Mana, that actually prompted a question. You've studied the ego and it's not its purpose, but how it influences our perception and our experience of the human life. When we talk about authenticity, a lot of people connect it to ego. It's so entangled, those two concepts, authenticity and ego. Can you break it down for us so that we're no longer confused?
Well, first, we have to understand that the mind wants to own you. It wants to steal your identity. It wants you to believe that you are it. It wants to command you because it's demanding. Anytime the ego speaks, it's in a demanding voice. It's never gentle, loving, calmly. Okay, and so to recognize that is the key. So when I work with my students or when I do my work, the first thing I tell people is to pay attention to how they're feeling, what they're experiencing, and how loud the mind is yelling at you. Because it's easier to identify what you don't want than to bathe in what you do want. Breathing is natural. Harmony is natural. Vibrancy, health, good, is all natural. So when you have it, you don't know you don't have it. You only recognize you don't have it when you don't have it.
Right.
Okay. And that's the beginning. You have to recognize what you don't want. Know that the ego is speaking. So if you know the characteristics of the ego, and I wrote out about 150 characteristics of the ego and how it hides and how it disguises yourself as your friend, how it tells you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. And you go ahead and do it anyway, based on fear. Because behind every action the ego wants you to take, it's coming from a fear-based perspective, meaning it doesn't want you to go and embrace the joy of who you are. It doesn't want you to find out your true, authentic self. Because once you do, the ego is out of work. Okay, so when you first get the, when you start to become quiet in your mind, then you can hear the heart whispering. You can hear the songs. You can hear the guiding light. You can feel the guiding light. You can go into your feel. See, it's really important to know the difference between emotions and feelings. That's the only way that you're going to be able to know who's talking. Emotions are a narrative that the ego creates to put you into sadness, anxiety, jealous, rage, anger, fear, doubt. Everything that creates a low density frequency in your body that changes your vibrational frequency mm-hmm. is an emotion
mm-hmm.
in the sense that it brings it to a heavier density. It's not a good energy or a bad energy. It's just a low density or a high density. It's like a dimmer switch for a light. You turn mm-hmm. it one way, the light gets brighter. You turn it another way, it gets darker. Well, that's the way the energy works. And we want to stay in the highest realm of frequency, which is an alignment with basically 528 hertz, which is the calibrated frequency of love. In mm-hmm. some instances, it's 423 in the music industry. But the point I want to make is that we want to stay fine-tuned so mm. we can play in the orchestra of life.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you got to know where the squeaks are. You know, have to know where to tune in your instrument. Mm-hmm. You have to know your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You go. So emotions tell you your attitude. Right. On the other side of the coin, feelings are all heart-centered. Joy, beauty, compassion, creativity, passion.
Kindness,
love, kindness, yeah. allowing, mm-hmm. trust.
Mm-hmm.
All these are feelings. They're not thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think beauty. You don't think joy. You don't think love. It's an experience. You feel it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're given that opportunity as human beings to physically embrace love.
Mm-hmm.
Where a rose knows it's love. A dog or a cat knows who it is. It doesn't mm. have the rational mind to say good or bad.
Mm.
It all works intuitively and instinctively through creation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So our mind creates the duality in our world. The duality creates the perspective. The perspective gives us a choice. The choice gives us an opportunity to embrace reality mm. and the only reality is love.
Mm. Yes, I agree.
That's my story.
Yeah.
And so I became conscious of that. All right. And in writing the book, I wrote the book only 3-4 years ago. I was in a nursing home confined with a life-threatening illness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the author came to me.
Mm.
And over the period of 2 years, I whatever came through me, whatever I was guided to, mm-hmm. I put down. You know, momentarily at the time I was bedridden.
Yeah.
I didn't have much opportunity to even stay alert.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that it all came through me. My mm-hmm. mind wasn't involved in any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read it, I didn't know even who wrote it because
yeah.
it just didn't sound like me. I come from Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in the garment industry. You know?
Yeah.
You know, what am I doing?
You just allowed it to flow through you.
Anyway, but mm-hmm. that information helped me become more clear mm-hmm. in my journey. It,
mm-hmm.
it set me on my path. It became the road signs for me to follow. And
yeah.
that's why I said my book is a road sign mm-hmm. on your journey
mm-hmm.
to a love.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, to a life founded in love.
Yeah. So if I tie everything together so far, what you're sharing, Mana, is that when you're feeling things like emotions, which are all the quote unquote negative, the heavier dense emotions experiences, that's your soul or your spirit telling you you're on the wrong path. Something is misaligned. It's out of tune. When you're experiencing feelings, those of the higher frequency, you know you are more aligned with your authentic true self.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly mm-hmm. right. Use your body as you use the dashboard of your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we get rashes, we get tense, we get ill, mm-hmm. you know, we lose our voice, we hurt our foot. All mm-hmm. these we have to pay attention to as Louise Hay says, it's a physical manifestation mm-hmm. of the mind.
Yes. Yeah. And so for you, the ego is just the human mind. It's the inner critic, the constant chatter that tries to take over our ability to experience full presence here.
But keep in mind that it's on God's payroll.
Okay. Tell us more about that.
Okay, then everything is divine.
Mm-hmm.
So the ego has to be put in the same category as the heart in the sense that it's divinely orchestrated.
Yeah, it serves a purpose.
It serves a purpose.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's how you, it's your interpretation that creates your conflict.
Yes, yeah.
The meanings we put on words and actions and what we consider success and what we consider failure and what we've been taught that we're not tall enough, we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not rich enough. And so this is food for the ego that uses it against you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
It knows where to go because it put it there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates, you know, the little scenario where if you take a candle and you light it and you put it out in the sun, you're not going to see the flame. But you take that candle and put it in a dark room and it illuminates the room. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the ego does. It illuminates God. It illuminates the light.
It creates that contrast for us to experience.
Exactly. Life. And now devotion should be your magic wand.
Yeah.
To make your choice in life. Do you want to go with the ego or do you want to go with the heart? And now that takes courage.
Yes.
Meaning trust.
Mm-hmm.
You see how it all fits in?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I had originally asked you that question, for me, ego was in this definition where it's just a collection of all of our narratives and stories, but it also serves a purpose. It's a tool that helps us to see the contrast so we know and can appreciate the light and source in God.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So Mana, I'm wondering if you can share, because something that really struck me as I was, you know, delving into your work is how I would have experienced losing Laura. And I'm using the word losing very loosely. But reading about your experience and how it must have felt for you really did move my heartstrings. And I'm wondering how that experience, and if you could share a little bit, of course, to give our listeners context, how that experience, that time of your life, helped you to understand that you are not your identity, which is what we think our authenticity is, which is not.
Well, I can tell you this, that of all the experiences and marriages I was in, relationships I've had in my life, and the people that are in my life, there was nothing more intimate than taking care of Laura while she was ill. I was a caretaker for a year and a half to 2 years. And as she got progressively less able to handle herself, my work became even more intimate. And it was the most endearing thing that I have ever experienced. You reach a level of intimacy you don't normally have in a relationship between a man and a woman. It goes beyond the physical loving. You find that you have strength and courage to do things that you would never dream that you would do in help, in compassion of. I got closer to her during those years than I ever did.
Yeah.
We traveled to Japan together and lived there in order for her to find alternative ways to heal. And I was in a wheelchair when
you
that happened.
You were in a wheelchair. Wow.
Yes, I was in a wheelchair. When I got to the big island of Hawaii, it shook me up. That island brings out everything that you don't want to find out. You know, it shakes everything loose. It brings it to the top. It makes you look at things. It's part of the process, okay? Yeah, I'm not saying it in a negative way. And so I was not doing well. I was working hard. I hurt my back. And we formed a company to bring emergency medical care to the hotels and the vacation rentals on the Big Island, because Laura was an ER doc. Mm-hmm. And not only was she boarded in emergency medicine, but she was also a founding member and boarded in integrative holistic medicine.
Mm.
And so we went to all the hotels rooms and all the vacation rentals for people that were on the island that were ill, families, people that were just getting married. I can write books. It was like a reality show. It was amazing. And why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I got to know her from a different perspective, the working perspective, mm-hmm. which normally people are not who they are in the house. She was. She was genuinely through and through an angel. Mm-hmm. And there was no separating the fact. And, you know, my love for her was complete when she died. I felt I had everything that I needed to experience with her.
Mm-hmm.
I had no remorse.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it was okay. Mm-hmm. And I let it go.
Yeah.
You know, because the ego is what holds you to some thoughts and what was. But mm-hmm. the heart, when you stay connected to the heart, there is no separation. Love is not lost.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling is the same if she was there or not there. It's yeah. only when the mind gets in the way do
yeah.
you feel the sadness.
Mm.
Because sadness is a story that's connected to the narrative of the mind. It's mm-hmm. not the heart. The heart mm-hmm. doesn't know sadness. It
yeah.
only knows love. The heart is 100% love. And I'll make this statement in a way to show you the contrast only. The mind is 100% murderous.
Mm.
Don't give it any leeway.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's intention. It's wired
mm-hmm.
to be what it is.
Yeah. And I think that happens by separation. I think the mind, the ego creates, like you said, separation, which I think is probably the foundational stone for how we develop identities. You know, I am a daughter, I am a wife, I am a sister. And all of those things only happen because we come from a place of we are separate. When we listen, like you said, when we listen to the mind or to our ego. But your relationship, your experience, Laura, Mana, it seems like it helped you to break that up completely apart, that you are not your identities, that you are not separate from Laura, from anyone else. There is a oneness, a union of sorts when we come from our heart.
She spoke to me without words.
Yeah. Wow. That.
Yeah. In fact, when she was dying, she told me, she said, Mana, can't speak to me anymore the way you do. Meet me at a higher level.
Mm.
Those were her words. Meaning.
Wow.
Meaning from mm-hmm. the heart level. Speak mm-hmm. to her from the heart without the mind, without the yeah. words.
Yes.
That's when we can communicate. And I got to tell you, there isn't a day that doesn't go by that we don't have a conversation.
That is mind blowing. I love
she's
that.
She's right here with me. She's mm-hmm. right here, and well, symbolically, she's here mm-hmm. in a little chain on my night table lamp mm-hmm. with her bones and ashes. But the fact is, we talk all the time.
Yeah, energetically, she is always with you.
Not through the mind. It's through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The answers come, or I'm being led. People come into my life, my dear, that I don't know where they're coming from, but they reach out and give me their hand.
Yeah.
They show me the way. They provide the next step.
Mm-hmm.
This is the miracle. This is what I'm talking about. This is the flow. This is the synchronicity.
Yes.
of being in alignment with the consciousness of love, with the flow of the universal creation, with the trust of it all.
Would you say that's how you would describe authenticity?
Yeah, of course. We're just part of the mountain. You know, the wave is part of the ocean. The rock is part of the mountain. The soul is still in each fragment, right? The soul of the mountain is in each rock. The soul of the way of the ocean is in each wave. As the soul of life is in each cloud.
Yes.
And the song of life is in each bird. Okay, so we are one. Our problem is that when we identify with the mind, we think we're different than everything else.
Yeah.
When we're all one with it all, we're one. That's where the oneness is. The oneness is the consciousness that flows through the mountains and the birds and the trees and the rivers and the clouds flow through us. It's the same consciousness that created the world we're living in. Why doubt it? Why question it? Why even try to control it? Why don't we just surf with it?
Because it takes courage and devotion, surfer, like you said.
The surfer doesn't resist the wave. The surfer flows with the wave.
Yeah.
See, all of nature, this is what I've learned too. And, you know, coming from New York, I wasn't much of an outdoor person. But I've learned to look at the way we live, the way the Indians live, the American Native Indians, and that's using nature as a reference. It's there.
Yeah, all everything the answers are there. Yes.
Yeah. And if we pay attention, the answers that we seek are all given to us.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. It really helps me to solidify what it means to live in oneness with Source and God. And in the context of our conversation, Mana, to be authentic is to express your connection to Source and God. And how better do we do that than, like you said, to lean into courage and devotion?
Do you know love on this planet, in this reality that we call our lifetime, is the ultimate gift the soul gives itself to physically, I said it before, like a rose doesn't know love, it is love. We get the opportunity, because of the perspective, because of the ego, to embrace, physically embrace love, feel it, to live it, and then to celebrate our authentic self, be it.
To be love, exactly. That's wonderful. Oh, I don't know how else we could finish this conversation that would top what you just shared. Just be it. And as the human experience, we don't just get to be love, but we get to feel it, to experience love.
That's the gift.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's beautiful.
You know, a puppy dog or even a baby, you know, they're pure source. They are pure love.
Yes,
right?
They don't question.
That's why everyone loves babies, because they are pure. Well, we are that purity. Nothing has changed except the way we perceive ourselves.
Yes.
And that's the mind.
Yes. Thank you for sharing.
Everything else remains intact.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to live a life of health and radiancy and vibrancy, you have to embrace your authentic self.
Yes. Beautifully said.
And that's the goal. It's not getting away from anything. It's not denying anything or hiding anything or reasoning with everything. It's going forward and claiming your true identity. Like many women, they don't claim their godlessness. You know what I mean? They don't claim their beautifulness, and so they walk around feeling less. And not only women, but men too, in all categories. Absolutely. They don't feel their manlyhood. They don't see themselves as a success. They don't see themselves as lovable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the mind's work. Of course they're lovable. Of course they're pure. Of course they're organic.
Right.
Am I making it clear how important it is to get out of your mind?
Absolutely.
It's not about taming the mind. It's not about going into a meditation and being using discipline. It's all about devotion, self-love. It's all about welcoming yourself into a new reality.
Absolutely.
It's not about getting away from anything.
Absolutely. Or trying to improve yourself or make yourself better or change anything about where you are or who you are.
Just be your pure, beautiful self. And
I love that.
Everything else will take care of,
you
know, itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Mana. That was beautiful.
I enjoy talking to you. And I have to acknowledge your way of bringing things out in me is different than most interviews that I've been on. And I appreciate this one the most.
Oh, thank you for sharing yourself and being here in your presence. I really
thank
do
you.
Appreciate you. So Mana, before we let you go, for those listeners or viewers, audience members who want to connect with you on a deeper level, who want to find out more about you, where should we send them?
Well, I have a website.
Mm-hmm. I'll put a
Steven,
link to it.
Mm-hmm. StevenMonitoring.com. That's STEVEN.
Mm-hmm.
M like in Mary, A N like in Nancy, A Trink, TRINK.com. Mm-hmm. And on my website, you know, I've been painting, which is a story in itself that we didn't go into, but a lot of my paintings are on my website. Mm-hmm. I have a video of how I paint with my hands and go into a visualization. And I also have my book there. It gives you a little story about my book, and you'll get a little bit information about me.
Excellent.
And I can always be reached at my manaholly@yahoo.com. My email, I'm open for anyone who wants to talk to me or correspond with me. I'm here to support. Okay. I'm here to encourage.
Thank you so much for sharing that and for sharing yourself. I will make sure I, with the correct spelling, put everything in the description that you just shared. I hate to let you go, but we gotta go.
My book, I have to say this because it's part of the thing that I have to do, is I'm on Amazon.com.
Okay. I'll put a link to that as well.
Navigating the Winds of Change, A Spiritual Guide to Embracing a Loving Life by Steven Monitrink. There's two other books, but they're not mine.
Okay.
But that's why I'm saying all that.
Okay, fantastic. I'll make sure I put the correct link in the description. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you.
Bye. Have a beautiful, loving
day.
Bye now.